Welcome to Political Coffee, your one-hour thought-provoking news and commentary as you begin your day. And now, here's your host, Jeff Krupp.
Welcome, everybody. Second hour today. Great to have you with us. I went to the first hour without taking a call, and I will take calls now. 503-589-1220 is the Power Buick GMC talk line. Emails to jeff at 1220.am or jeff at kslm.news. If you're just joining us, I went through the first hour talking about the continuing opportunity for Donald Trump to use the federal law called a writ of quo warranto, how he can use it tactically and strategically to stop the absurdity of a Senate impeachment trial. Now, before I take our first caller, let me just say this. The thesis of this argument is simple. Congress wrote the quo warranto statute to create an opportunity in only the D.C. District Court for an election to be challenged because of either error, which has happened, or outright fraud, which has also happened. That's what the quo warranto statute enacted in 1901 is all about. Congress intended this law to be used for that purpose, for a challenge in the D.C. court for the seating of any person in any federal, has to be federal, office. That's what this statute's about. That's what Trump was impeached for, folks. You see the absurdity here? How can Trump be convicted in a Senate trial of doing something that the law that they passed said he could do? Think about it. Now, that's the thesis. We talked about how the DOJ could try to stymie it by running out the clock and, you know, not refusing, and how, frankly, there's part of the statute that says, no, you can't do that, and all of that. Here's the bottom line. If Trump does this, like literally in the next few days, by the way, I expect that Donald Trump in the next day or two is going to probably, now that articles of impeachment have been presented to the Senate, is probably going to petition the U.S. Supreme Court to rule that this impeachment is not constitutional, because the trial wouldn't be, either the impeachment is constitutional because he's a private citizen. Now, he wasn't when he was impeached, but he's a private citizen now. The precedence that that set is, I think he's going to make that argument, and he should. No private citizen should be allowed to be impeached and disqualified from running for office again. That is not what the impeachment statute's about. That's very clear. I think the Supreme Court probably rules, I'm going to go out on a limb and say they would rule unanimously. That's how strong this is. Why John Roberts will not participate in overseeing the trial. But if Trump does this, the principle is you can't be convicted when you have another action that's pending in court. It would throw this big monkey wrench, catch 22, into McConnell, which we just saw, he's reached a power sharing agreement with Schumer. You wonder what he had to give up for that, huh? Yeah, well, he is a swamp creature, to be sure. At any rate, what this would do, and here's the benefit of it for Trump, it runs out the clock on impeachment trial. And it allows Trump to get the actual evidence out in front of the American people through a number of ways. Clearly, the evidence is going to be brought forward, at least I think, in front of the U.S. Supreme Court in these seven trials that are going to happen there. The seven cases that the Supreme Court has accepted all that evidence is going to come out. The quo warranto evidence would have to be considered, should be considered, doesn't have to be, but it would be, by a jury trial. That means you get to present all the evidence, all the stuff we know proves voter fraud, vote manipulation, election fraud. While that's occurring, the impeachment trial is sitting out there just simmering, except it loses all of its steam completely in the eyes of the public. With all that evidence being presented either before the U.S. Supreme Court or in a quo warranto action. The benefit of that to Trump is enormous, folks. But the benefit to the American people, those of us, is even greater. Because now tens of millions of Americans will become aware of the actual truth of a manipulated election, which we saw with our own eyes on numerous videos, hundreds if not thousands of affidavits, actual data that shows the removing of votes from Donald Trump. All of that gets in front of the public. And now the tide turns, not only against the Senate, but now the tide turns in America for Donald Trump running again. And it creates a dynamic where he has created now the office of the former president, which doesn't exist, except he just created it, taunting the news media to say how bad or how wrong that is when they refuse to do that when Biden created the office of the president-elect, which also doesn't exist. Trump takes the lead. Trump takes front and center stage, folks. He becomes the shadow president. That greatly hampers what Joe Biden and Kamala Harris can do now. What's he have to lose? What happens if he is successful in a jury trial, in a quo warranto action? That will blow your mind. You have to look at what has happened here. Joe Biden has set records in the last 3 days in doing what? Executive orders. More than all of his predecessors. This is stunning. What happens if his office is vacated? Are all of those null and void? Now, he won't have had an opportunity to have signed potentially any legislation by then. Who knows? Maybe, maybe not. What does that mean for that legislation? Is it valid? That's why if Trump's going to do this, he has to do it now, folks. Anyway, 503-589-1220 is the Power Buick GMC talk line. That's the story. I'm sticking to it. Those are the benefits of a quo warranto action. What do you think? Let's start first on the phones with Glenn. Glenn, good morning. What do you think?
Yeah, Jeff, what event took place in the 1900s to cause the legislature to write quo warranto? Some event, somebody got wronged. Do you know the facts on that?
You know, I thought I read something about that. It's a good question. It's escaping my brain now. I'll have to look it up over the break. I mean, it's a fair question. Something happened, well, right? I mean, you know it wouldn't have done it. It's a great question.
It's good to run a good petition before a judge if you know what you really want to fight for and where you want to get to. And this sounds to me like you're fighting the improper installation of an official in a seat of authority by fraud or by, what was the other term you used? Fraud or...
Well, error.
Error, okay. So that's a good word, the error. So somebody, it would take a Larry Klayman or Mark Levin. I thought he was a lawyer. If they were to get before a jury trial, they could really bring this to the front of a judge. And where he could understand it and he would actually process it through a jury trial, a people's trial. It does make sense. But you have to make the argument obvious to the people and to the judge. It's hard to make this legislation, this writ, obvious to people so they can understand it.
Yeah, I mean, it's, believe me, I'm not a lawyer. You know that. Yes, I served in the legislature, and I learned a little bit about how you write laws and the wheres and the whereases and therefores and all of that stuff. But this has taken me some study. I mean, I read a lot about this last night, partly, Glenn, to figure out, okay, how could I present this in a way to the audience that made sense, that I wouldn't lose them in the weeds, that I would boil down to what are the real facts and how could it benefit us? Because that's kind of what we care about, isn't it? We care about how all of this is going to affect us.
But the best way of explaining something is to take the event that actually generated this in the legislature in the 1900s so they could see a real live human and the real live event and make the comparison. Oh, he got wronged. This guy got hung out to dry. And that's what has to happen with Moronto. They need to know how Trump got hung out to dry. What events took place against him that he was improperly uninstalled and somebody was improperly installed. Trump uninstalled technically by fraud and error, and Biden installed in his place by fraud and error. So they flipped the books. They flipped the event. That's always what they do.
That's an excellent analysis, by the way. It's an interesting way of describing it. I think it hits the nail on the head. Glenn, thanks for hanging on, and thanks for that. I mean, I appreciate it. I did look it up. The 1911 Encyclopedia Britannica. This is a website called studylight.org. Has the kind of the history of this. It comes from England. In English law, it is a name given to an ancient prerogative, writ, calling upon any person usurping any office, franchise, liberty, or privilege belonging to the crown to show by what warrant, quote unquote, he maintained the claim, the onus being on the defendant. That's interesting. It lay also for the non-user or misuser of an office. If the crown succeeded, judgment or forfeiture was given against the descendant. This started as early as 1278, folks. Now, I'll get to more of it when we get back and more of your phone calls. Don't go away.
Jeff now at 503-589-1220. That's 503-589-1220. Let's return now to more of Political Coffee with Jeff Krupp.
Got an email from Linda. It says, excellent monologue this morning. I've been listening to Bannon's War Room with lots of information. Rich writes an email, isn't it strange, convenient, that the virus is now on the back burner? Notice Gruesome Newsom has decided to open up California, as well as New York Governor Cuomo wants New York opened up as soon as possible. And maybe, just maybe, the virus will go down as the election year coup virus. Laugh out loud. Yeah, sadly, true. And then Terry writes an email. The writ of quo warranto was used by Dr. Kevorkian's defense in the state of Michigan. Now, that's interesting. By the way, Dwight sent me the story that we've seen Portland Mayor Ted Wheeler maces a guy. He's having dinner with Sam Adams, who I guess is going to join the mayor's office. That's a weird thing, given how disgraced Sam Adams is. But anyway, he pepper sprays a guy who was harassing him. And the guy was, but geez, good thing he didn't carry a gun. The CDC report, by the way, that apparently the changed COVID criteria has inflated the fatalities tenfold. Kind of goes along with what Rich was writing about the election year coup virus. Yeah. Back to the phones. 503-589-1220 is the Power Buick GMC talk line. Art, you're up. Go.
Hey, Jeff. I'm trying to connect the dots here. Now, I know, okay, the House did the impeachment thing because supposedly Trump promoted the insurrection. And we all know he said, now I want you to patriotically and peaceably march down to the Capitol. And right. That's what this impeachment hearing is all about. Did Trump promote insurrection? And of course, we now know that both Pelosi and Mitch McConnell were warned that Antifa was planning to riot, and they did nothing. And so I'm trying to connect the dots why you think that the Democrats are going to stop the impeachment hearing when, you know, that is why they're impeaching him. The one speech and all that stuff. And
okay,
he did,
good question. So let me just, it is the principle in law that basically you get, if you have a legal action pending in a court, further downstream legal actions have to wait. That's why. So if he, and it's a great question, and Art, I appreciate you making it because apparently make it clear.
The impeachment is not truthfully a legal action. I mean, it's not happening in a court. And the reason why Roberts said, no, I'm not going to oversee it, is because the Constitution says that he shall do it if it's an impeachment of the president. Well, this isn't an impeachment of the president. And so that's why he said, no, I'm not going to do it, because if I did, then I would have to recuse myself on the pending litigation that would be heard in the Supreme Court. And that's why he said, no, I'm not going to oversee this, because you're not impeaching a president. You're doing this, and he's not the president of the United States anymore.
Right, so, he's a private citizen. But your question is, the fact is that a Senate trial is a legal trial. It is. Okay, it's not a criminal proceeding. It is a civil proceeding to remove a president or a judge or anybody else that qualifies. It is a trial. So if you have appeals, if you are... The theory here is that there is this, you cannot interfere, quote, we cannot interfere with pending federal court litigation. A trial in the Senate on impeachment would be interfering with pending federal court litigation. The same as it would be, Art, is if Donald Trump, and I hope he does, files a restraining order against the Senate from holding a trial. That would be pending litigation in front of the U.S. Supreme Court. The reason he would do that is for the very reason you just articulated. And you're right. Trump is a private citizen. You can't convict a private citizen.
No, and that's why I agree with you that he should file in federal court to stop what they're doing and get a ruling on that. But, I mean, the pending trial or whatever they have with this other thing is not what, you know, they're impeaching him for. They're impeaching him for insurrection, which he didn't do, Jeff. You and I both know that. He said peacefully and patriotically, and it's all made up in the first place. But in the long run, I mean, you know, they're not going to have enough votes to impeach him because more and more Republicans are saying, hey, this is a sham and we're going to vote against it. So,
and that's exactly why Trump should do this, because it is both educational to the public, it blows everything up, and it gives the opportunity for more and more Republicans to be pressured by the 75 million voters that voted for Donald Trump, and frankly, for the rest of the country to actually see evidence that would be presented in a jury trial under quo warranto.
Yeah.
There's enormous benefit to all of that, Art. Wouldn't you agree?
Well, hey, Jeff. We are on ground that never happened before. It'll be interesting to see how it plays out. But Roberts refused himself because it's not an impeachment hearing for the President of the United States.
Well said. Thanks. 7:30. Back in a moment.
Bye-bye.
Jeff now at 503-589-1220. That's 503-589-1220. Let's return now to more of Political Coffee with Jeff Krupp.
24 minutes till the top of the hour. You got to love Ted Wheeler, folks. It is the lead story at thelibertydaily.com. Popcorn is the headline. Democrat Portland Mayor Ted Wheeler, who banned cops from using tear gas, you pepper sprays man harassing him for not wearing a mask at dinner. It's just too good. Hey, by the way, you know, here's interesting. Virginia rule that allowed late ballots missing a postmark, court just ruled that was illegal. Oh, goody. Now, this, by the way, plus a great, you go to the Gateway Pundit, it is a video by Christina Bob, who was a former executive secretary for the U.S. Department of Homeland Security. She joined OANN. She puts into words something else that I talked about in the first hour of the show, and that is this massive cyber fraud, a new website that might be put together. It's called Fun with 2020 Election Fraud. Well, they're proposing some name like that. The bottom line is this cyber guy and his team. His name's Jay Valentine. He bailed out eBay. His eBay had all these fraudsters that they would get banned because they would rip people off, and then they would just change all of their stuff around and come back with a different name, a different IP address, blah, blah, blah. And eBay's people couldn't figure it out. His cyber team did. And then they figured out a major insurance company that had apparently sent millions and millions of dollars to a convicted fraudster serving in prison because their 30-member team couldn't figure it out. This guy and his team did. So he's put together this piece about fun with 2020 election fraud. They put together a 4 million line spreadsheet that you could click on what's called the simple button. You could ask to see how many dead people voted. Click on a button. In mere seconds, 4 million data lines get organized to show you, state by state, the dead people that voted. It's called Fun with the 2020 Election Fraud. Christina Bob, in this video that you can watch, says we cannot afford to be willfully ignorant anymore because she believes Joe Biden's illegitimate president. And she does something that Jay Valentine is also asking for, and here's what it is. She asks everybody who watches to help out in any way they can to uncover the truth. Jay Valentine goes a step further. He is asking for anybody who has data, any data, to send it to his team. Because what they'll do is they'll add it into this website. And he talks about, by the way, they did this with some of the Pennsylvania data. Let me read from his piece in the American Thinker. Quote, in December, my team was contacted by some data geeks with official election data firm from one of the swing states. With official election data, I read that wrong. My team was contacted by some data geeks with official election data from one of the swing states. It was a set of about 4 million records, mail-in and absentee ballots with all the supporting data. They ask if we could do anything with it. He writes, we're not election guys, and we have day jobs doing pretty cutting-edge stuff in technology, but we love to play with data. The bigger, the more complicated, the better. We built a spreadsheet, listen to this, with about 4 million rows, one for each of the ballots. We saw a video some teenager did, counting how many ballots were received before they were mailed out. That's not a typo, he writes. Let me repeat that again. We saw a video some teenager did, counting how many ballots were received before they were mailed out. How does that happen? How do you receive a ballot in the mail before it's mailed out? He continues. By the way, that's a question you could ask somebody, couldn't you? You know, the show's about persuading the persuadable. If you know somebody, you're in a conversation with them who's, you know, kind of on a fence and all this stuff, you could say, so how is it that a teenager can do a video about counting how many ballots were received before they were even mailed out? Because it happened, folks. He goes on. The U.S. Postal Service, which still finds letters from World War II in its system and piles of mail under bridges, all true, by the way, delivered the ballots back to state officials before they were mailed. Let me say that again. Delivered the ballots back to state officials before they were mailed. Again, how does that happen? As tech guys, he writes, we did think this might be a new disruptive technology, and we're still trying to recreate it. That's snide comment. So we ran a test on the data we were given, and guess what? About 30,000 more, I recall, ballots were received before they were sent. A bunch more, he writes, in the thousands were sent and received the same day. Now, I want you to think about that. How does that work? How do you send a ballot in one day? It gets postmarked. Somebody receives it, fills it out, puts it back in the mail, and gets postmarked the same day? No, that's not how the system works, folks. You know it and I know it. He goes, okay, big deal. We took an analysis some kid performed, and we did it too. But with the most cutting-edge software out there, one that could create a 4-million-row spreadsheet that responded in less than 1 second. Right. Our analysis was not the eureka moment. The eureka moment was when we created the simple button. We created a button that said ballots received before being mailed. It's just a button on the screen. Some on our team, he writes, who may not even vote and certainly do not care a bit about election fraud, were amazed at how much fraud they experienced by seeing it in live data. They touched the hot stove. So we built a couple of more queries. Ballots sent and received in 24 hours, 48 hours. The effect was the same to everyone who we let hit the simple button. Everybody was blown away. Now comes the fun part. There are lots of publicly available data that's out there. And there are many, too many for us to track down. Excellent analysis of that data. It's evidence, but it's not proof. We're reaching out to our contacts for anyone who has that data or any publicly available data of absentee and mail-in ballots. Remember, some data were publicly available a few days after the election, but now are behind a wall. More data will become available as lawsuits proceed. We want the data. And then he goes on to talk about other things, but just the idea of somebody doing this, putting together all of this data, and just putting the simple buttons up there. How many dead people voted? How many people who live out of state voted? How many people voted more than once? How many people voted and live in a vacant lot? All of that, they're going to put together. So here's what we're going to do. Mike Nierman, whom, as we said in the first hour, all these lefty groups have come out saying, he's got to resign or he's got to be expelled because he walked out a door and didn't close it behind him. Watch the video. That's what you'll see. He should have closed it behind him. And shame on every person who walked into that building behind him. You shouldn't have done it. It was wrong. And a lot of cops got assaulted because the people that were assaulting them, people normally on our side demanding the legislature be opened up to the people, because it's our house, for a legislative session, they did the wrong thing. They assaulted some cops. You don't do that. People on our side don't do that. We protest peacefully. We are not Antifa. Sadly, a bunch of our people got out of control. They're going after Mike Nierman because he walked out a door and didn't shut it immediately behind him, which he should have done. But that's not a reason to be expelled. Anyway, he's got data, folks. And I'm going to try to get him to send it to Jay Valentine. Back in a moment at 7:47.
Jeff now at 503-589-1220. That's 503-589-1220. Let's return now to more of Political Coffee with Jeff Krupp.
10 minutes till the top of the hour. Jimmy writes me an email, says, nothing says freedom like winning an illegitimate election and locking down the Capitol with 25,000 troops. While you're at it, impeaching the president after he leaves office, shutting down the printing presses, and prohibiting freedom of association. Might as well throw in a little martial law to boot. He says, Glenn and Art are hitting all cylinders today. Oh, yeah, and you too. Thanks, Jimmy. That's very nice of you to say that. Sam sends me an email. How do we get Trump to use quo warranto? It is great to know this quo warranto is probably one more step President Trump can use to expose all the election corruption. If Trump knows about this but doesn't take action, it'll seem like another letdown. However, if he doesn't know about this, how do we encourage President Trump to use quo warranto? What can we do? Thanks for the education, Jeff. Well, you know, I'm glad that you asked that, Sam, because Donald Trump just established the office of the former president. It's being run out of Florida. Search for it, and you'll find, I think there is a link to it. I think that's an opportunity for you to directly email the office of the former president and request that he immediately institutes a writ of quo warranto in the D.C. district. Actually, he has to do it to the DOJ or the U.S. attorney first. U.S. attorney in D.C., okay, in the District of Criminals. That's it's the great question. The other way that apparently, you know, Leo D'Onofrio, the guy who is blogging about this and other people are picking up on it and other people talking about it, has said that Rudy Giuliani is aware of it. I don't know to what extent. Now, Giuliani's got his own troubles now because, you know, he is going on offense, though. That's the great thing. You know, he got sued by Dominion for $1.2 billion, right? And he says, great, I'm going after you now. I get to discover everything because that's the process of discovery, right, in a lawsuit. That's how it works. So I don't know that Rudy, how much Rudy is counting on this or how much he's advising the president about it. I mean, certainly has the president's ear, as does Jenna Ellis, as does Jay and Jordan Seculo. Now, I'm sure they're aware of it. Now, to the extent that we think that he ought to be using it, I think they are, you know, they're all very smart people, and they should be not only fully aware of it, they should have done a lot of research on it, and they should have a strategy outlined how to do this, how to use it. Unless they don't think that it's, unless they have another strategy that they think works better. I mean, I don't know what they could be possibly thinking about, but then I didn't know anything about quo warranto 2 weeks ago either, did I? I bet you didn't either. I will say this. It's the only path that I see for exposing the corruption. And the benefit to us is that we, frankly, 75 million Americans feel like their vote was justified and that they can vote again and have confidence in their vote. And that's huge. It's huge to me. I bet it is to you. President Trump, by the way, is announcing the creation of two pro-Trump think tanks, and he's doing that today. Now, why would he do that? Because it's providing the ideological ammunition to sustain the movement, Trump's political movement, making America great again. It's a gateway pundit story, and it is right on the mark, folks. This is exactly what needs to happen. Because you have to continue to put things up. Trump has taken the lead by establishing the office of the former president by going after these 10 Republicans in the House that voted for his impeachment. He is taking the lead. And if he does the quo warranto thing, he sucks the air out of the room of Joe Biden. And it's going to be fun to watch, and I hope he does it. So the answer to your question, Sam, is you need to email or contact the office of the former president. It's all out there. It's on the gatewaypundit.com and other places. You can find it. Friends, I want to kind of end the show today by thanking all of you who have already signed up for the Freedom Celebration this coming Sunday afternoon, 2:00 up at the Ames Ranch outside of Jefferson, folks. We are going to have a party, no alcohol, but nonetheless, we're going to have a lot of fun celebrating freedom, which is what America is about, and honoring the people that keep us free. A lot of law enforcement agencies, Oregon State Police Officers Association is going to be joining us. Salem PD is going to be joining us. Oregon National Guard is going to be joining us. I'm waiting to hear back on Salem Fire and Marion County Sheriff's Office, and a lot of veterans, men and women who've honorably served us in the military. Some of them are combat veterans, and we're going to hear from some of them. Freedom is it's what every man has always longed for in their heart, because it is the yearning for freedom is given to us in our nature by God. It is the opposite of tyranny. We're going to celebrate that, and I want you to come join us. Freedom Heating and Air, a great segue, right, to their company, is a company that's been in the Salem area almost 50 years. They take care of your home. We may have some snow. In fact, I'm looking out my window right now, and it looks like there are snow clouds coming this way. We may have snow today. That means the house is going to get pretty cold. If the old furnace or the heat pump is not keeping up, you need to talk to Freedom Heating and Air, because they can fix it for you, and they can do it today. They have great emergency services. They also honor veterans and senior citizens with discounts. Freedom Heating and Air is one of our sponsors of the Freedom Celebration this Sunday at 2 p.m., but come early. Come at 1 o'clock. Why? Because that's when the doors open, and the music from the 45th Fret, this great country rock band, that's when it begins. Come and bring your sweetie, your wife, your family, because it's a family-friendly event. And just have a good time dancing, and I'm going to be there early and would love to meet all of you. And I mean that from the bottom of my heart. I'm deeply grateful for all of you that listen to this show and listen to this radio station. Everybody's going to be there from the KSLM family. We had an opportunity for you to meet Stacey Ann, who's up next here with Good Morning Salem. And Don and Cindy Wine, who own this great radio station, and many of our employees. Go to KSLM.news. Click on the Freedom Celebration and register. It's only $10 a person, $30 for a family of four or more. Incredible food, and it will be incredible food with Adam's Rib and Smokehouse, Kira's Restaurant, Main Street Bistro. Just, it's going to be a great time. So come and join us. Go to KSLM.news. Please, please register. Come and celebrate freedom and honor the people that keep us free. I look forward to that. Look forward to meeting you all. It's 7:59. Stacey ends up next with Good Morning Salem. Be blessed, all of you out there. Keep the hope and the fire alive. See you tomorrow. Yeah.